Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing?
Amen.
Now, first of all, I want to tell you, I'm not gonna sound like Ian or Jermaine. I'm 40 years older than they are. And plus, I'm losing my voice. But I'm going to give it the best shot I can. First, I want to thank my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Father God, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord, just thanking you for giving me the opportunity to give the word. Let my words be your words, Lord. And I pray that whatever they hear, it's what they hear from the Lord. Amen. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
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 Okay, we're going to be in Luke 17:11. 11:17-19. Let me put my eyes on. This is one of my favorite ones. Traveling one day along the border between Galilee and Samaria on his way to Jerusalem, Lord Jesus approached a village where 10 serious ill men came out to meet him. 10 lepers met Jesus, 10 men afflicted by the worst disease imaginable in Jesus' day. Leprosy was incurable. Leprosy was disgusting. Leprosy was revolting. Leprosy was considered proof that you were the vilest sinner alive. God was really punishing you for something bad. If you had leprosy, you actually watched your body rot away. Your fingers, your ears, your nose dropped off. You died a slow and painful death. Cut off from society, cut off from families, and from the only friendships you had were the men that were like you. 9 others in this case that kept reminding you as you looked at them how really bad you were. 10 leopards, 10 dying, decaying leopards, stinking wretches met Jesus and cried, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They must have known this was their only chance to escape the awful consequences of their disease. If Jesus did nothing for them, surely their lives would end in a slow, painful death. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," was their only chance to escape the awful consequences of their disease. If Jesus did nothing for them, surely their lives would end in a slow, painful death. "Jesus, have mercy on us." Can you imagine? That air was filled with tension as the 10 leopards and 10 lives hung on the word or actions of the man of Galilee. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Jesus didn't touch them. He didn't wash them. He didn't even pray for them. Finally, after what seemed to be an eternity, or these desperate men. Jesus spoke, "Go show yourselves to the priests." In other words, Jesus was saying to go to the priest for certification of cleansing. They weren't healthy, but they were to go and get health certificates to proclaim they were healed. Jesus said, go get a physical examination. Can you imagine their situation? They must have stood there, looked at each other, and then started to debate this command. They might have said, but we have already been there. They couldn't do anything for us. You have got to be kidding me. They've probably been to the priest 100 times. Go show yourself to the priest. They had surely expected something more, something else, something of their own desperation and their growling but doubting faith and confidence led these 10 men to turn and start walking towards the priest. Something about this man of Galilee led them to obey, to go, to do what they had done before, not knowing what was going to happen. But this time, it was Jesus that told them to go. Then it happened. At one point, some instance, quite by surprise, those 10 outcast lepers were changed. Every disease cell in their bodies were changed. Every cell suddenly sprang into health, signaled by a unseen force. A force of events which began in a twinkling of an eye, in a flash of a excitement, as one of the 10 noticed his body becoming healthy. They don't know who was the first to notice. We don't know. But with tremendous swiftness, the reaction must have spread through the group. In that amazement, they stopped, looked at their hands, their feet, at each other's ears. They were whole. They had been changed. Jesus had done this again. His reputation was true. 10 suffering human beings had been touched by the Son of God. 10 suffering men had been encouraged, the touch of a loving God. Then 10 suffering men had been torched by the creative hands of God that was still very much at work in this world. Can you picture them bounding down the road to the priest, now running, now leaping, now dancing, wondering how the priest would react because they've been there so many times before, and the priest couldn't do anything. Anticipating glee, the excitement of their families as they would return home, healthy and alive, with a health certificate proclaiming to all what had happened. all 10 men caught up in the joy, the excitement of the moment. Wait a minute, though. But one of them halts in his tracks. He stops. He smiles. He turns, now walking, now running, back to the master. Back to this man from Galilee. Back to this one who touched him with his mysterious force. He comes back shouting, laughing, proclaiming glory in the Lord with a joyful and thankful heart. He runs back to Jesus, falls at his feet, and gives the Son of God thanks for the great healing that had been done. But only one of the 10 were touched by the love of this man of Galilee that seen beyond the miracle of healing to the one who had dared to risk for him. He saw Jesus for who he was, one who cared, one who loved, one who wanted a relationship with everyone on the face of the earth. He saw the Son of God as a man of love, a builder of relationships. He saw the miracle as Jesus was of building a way, was building a bridge between the fallen creation, the brokenness of disease, and the loving hand of God who wants to reach unto that brokenness with his creating and redeeming power. He saw Jesus. Then Jesus finally responded, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Only 1 in 10 came back to thank him. He wanted them to see beyond the miracle worker. He wanted them to come into a relationship with him. So what is the ratio today for us? Is it the same? 1 in 10? Let us try to examine in the next few moments why these 9 cleansed men wandered into the valley of ingratitude when they should have been by the mountain of the one from whom all blessings flow. Perhaps one reason they walked in the valley of ingratitude was because they suffered from a lack of sensitivity and imagination. They never stopped and reflected on what had happened. They didn't think about who or how this had happened. They just took it for granted they were healed. Their lives could go on. They had a lot of catching up to do. So they thought they'd better be about it. They couldn't see beyond the gift of the miracle of the healing to the one who gave it to them. They never saw the giver. Now a little illustration. Do you remember the Esau fable? I don't know if I'll get this word right. Atrocities the lion. Atrocities was a young boy who wandered off into the forest. One day, suddenly he came upon a lion which was groaning in pain. Atrocities turned to run away as fast as he could. And as he glanced over his shoulder to see how close the lion was, he noticed that the lion had not run after him. So what was the matter? He was thinking. He saw that lion had a huge thorn in his paw. Adrosthenes pulled it out and helped the lion to his den, where the lion was healed. A few days later, Adrosthenes and the lion were captured. Because he was a Christian and the emperor wanted some fun watching the Christians being eaten in the theater. And the lion, because they needed one to do the job. Atrocities was pushed out into the big arena, and the lion came charging from the cage on the other side. Atrocities fell to his knees, waiting for the huge lion waiting for the huge mouth of the lion to devour him. But to his amazement, the lion stopped dead in his tracks, laid down, and crawled towards Atrocity and began to lick his face and play with him. It was the same lion who Atrocities has helped. The one who had the thorn removed. The lion saw beyond the act of the helper, of the help to the helper, and responded in likeness when the opportunity rose. Aesop always has a moral tacked on to the end of his fables. Gratitude is the sign of noble souls. Can you see the giver? Can you see beyond the gift, the blessings, the love, the touch of grace in your life to the giver? Do you see the Redeemer, the Son of God, as you experience this touch in your life? Maybe another reason that only one of 10 returned to the healer is the fact that the other 9 lacked humility. They saw in this act of healing something they were due. Human beings can develop such an inflated sense of their own importance that we take everything good that comes our way as if it was our due. We tend to take for granted Are due, no, I already read that. Wait. We tend to take for granted as our due all those things that we have worked so hard to do. We have said, we have paid our dues already. Now we can reap the rewards. And as we tend to take the things for granted, as we tend to look only to ourselves as the foundation for living, we become more and more possessive, more and more greedy, more and more wanting only the best and the biggest. In 1 Timothy 6:6, it says, there is great gain in godliness with contentment. When a person views the world as owning him or her everything, then contentment is never achieved. In our contentment with the great gifts God has granted to us, we can see beyond the gift. We see the giver. If we never look beyond our selfishness for more, if we cannot see beyond the need for the best, then contentment with life will never be achieved. One more illustration. I was talking to a farmer one day during the beginning months of the summer. It had been late spring with more than an usual amount of rain, so there were some good wet spots in the field. The crops were all planted. And as far as my untrained eye could see, I thought they were doing well. So I asked him, how is your crops? How are they doing? Those few wet spots I have aren't doing very well. Then I said, but those wet spots aren't your whole field, are they? He said, no, thank goodness. Then I asked, how is the rest of the crops doing? Those not in the wet spots. He looked at me and smiled and said, it's the best crops I have ever seen on my land. And as the servant came, he was right. He had a record harvest, and even the wet spot did better than expected. But that attitude of starting with the negative, starting with the point that I have a few bad acres, when the majority of the land was doing great, shows a lack of humility, shows a lack of gratitude, shows a lack of thinking that many have. They want it, and all or nothing. The 10 lepers got it all. A new life, a clean bill of health, a return to the family and friends. But only one could see the greatness, only one could see the magnitude of the gift, only one could see the blessings. We are all blessed by God in different ways, at different times, with different blessings. Jesus is asking us to see beyond the gifts, beyond our own need of those things to the giver, to be humble and accept with a grateful heart. What we have. And in that attitude, a peace, a contentment about living will come from God. And then an amazing thing will happen. God will continue to bless us, usually more and more. He will lead us in ways that we would never dare to go, ways that we can risk for ourselves and others. When God blesses us, there is a double blessing. The one leopard was double blessed. His body was made whole, but he saw beyond the healing to the healer and became the church, a symbol of God's outreach to the whole world. The healing of the 10 leopards and the thankfulness of the one showed the world that the kingdom of God would be like. God would liberate us from the, as Luther would say, sin, death, and the power of evil. And in that liberation, we have a freedom to live, a sense of joy, and our relationship with a loving God. An adventurous attitude about life that lets us dare to risk, dares us to reach out because we know that God and I walk through life as a majority of one. With God's blessing and our willingness to surrender our selfishness and pride, to live in his grace with a peace of contentment, life can truly be exciting, fulfilling, and a creative adventure for everyone. Another little short illustration. There is an old story about two grasshoppers who fell into a bowl of cream. One of them complained and groaned over his plight. And he sank to the bottom and drowned. The other kept singing and cheerfully kicked his feet until the cream turned to butter and he hopped away to freedom. Life can be that way. Those who wish to sing can always find a song. May God and you walk through the life kicking and singing. Amen. You like? You like it? I just like that one. But you know that Jesus walks among the poor and reaches out to the social uncasts, outcasts, lepers, tax collectors, prostitutes, drunkards. He receives the sinners as they were, and he changes their lives forever. You guys want to come up and play another one? I'll go ahead and Lord, be with us as we go our separate ways, but don't let us forget you next Sunday. And don't let us forget you on the weekdays either. We give you all the glory and praise your name, Lord. We ask this in your precious name. And everybody said, amen.